being here on this Sunday. Last Sunday, we celebrated church anniversary. That video that you saw, I can explain my situation. I was told that we've been getting a lot of rain. And so it was, and we just had the roof fixed. But what happens is when water sets, water is going to find somewhere to go. And I was told that it was leaking in the church. Well, as a pastor, I'm not somebody that, you know, I can't get my hands dirty. Okay, so I received a phone call, and the first thing came to my mind is to strap up and get out there to the church. And that's what I did. I came out, got on the roof, started working. And that's what I did. I did notify Brother Moore, and he came. But it's kind of like the same as what my pastor did before me. He was right there working. You know, he often tells this story about someone sent, a gentleman came to see the pastor. And they sent him back there to see the pastor. Well, he saw a man, but didn't know that was the pastor, because the pastor was working. I believe he was doing some tile on the floor. And so they came back out and said that they didn't see the pastor. They said he's back there. So they go back there with him and say, there he is right there working. So a lot of times people are not accustomed to seeing the pastor get their hands dirty. I'm just saying that all to say that I'm not that pastor that's up here that can't come down and do the work that needs to be done. So I'm not that kind of person. So that's why you saw me on the roof working. Amen. That's me. I'm not going to change. So that's my explanation, brothers, to the video. Amen. Amen. They won't let me do anything, but if I beat them to it, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to laugh. I got them. But thanks God that, you know, we got that situation fixed. Brother Moore showed up, and he was up there with me. We were getting that water. It was a lot of water, y'all, I'm going to tell you. It was a lot of water on that roof. It was sitting. And then we had more rain coming. So thanks be to God, we got it done. Turn, if you will, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? King James. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. As we see in the beginning, God created man in his image and in his likeness. And he basically said to man to have dominion over the fish in the sea and over every fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made us in the image, in his own image. And he then created male and female. Here's what I want to really talk about, you know, today. You know, you all remember, I believe it was last week, Albert Pujols came into town, right? If you follow the Cardinals, you know who I'm talking about. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. Love them. I don't care if they're losing. I don't care if they're in last place. Don't matter to me. I'm still going to cheer for them. I don't care what you all say about them, how you talk about them. I'm still going to wear the shirt, the jersey, and I'm still going to, there you go. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. If he ain't have it on, I have it on. Amen. But I'm just letting y'all know, I didn't know he was going to wear that today, but I'm going to tell you. But I'm glad he got it on. But my point is, he came into town, and he is a great ball player. Great ball player. Hated when he left. It made me mad, made me angry when he left. But this is a business, right? There's a point that I'm trying to get to here. Just bear with me for a moment. And he left town. Ended up signing with the Angels. Had a great start to his career. I mean, the start that he had to his career is historic. I don't know if there's any other that has done it the way he's done it, but this man batted from the time that he's with the Cardinals. He batted 300 until the last year he left. He batted like 299. But my point is, this man has done great things, you know, for the game, baseball, and for the Cardinals. I mean, he helped win some championships. I believe he won two, and I believe he won three MVP titles and may have been runner-up several other times. And he's the type of ball player, check this out, that if the game is tied or the game is on the line and if you know he's coming up to bat, you're not going to leave yet. And if you're watching it on TV, you're not going to turn the channel because you want to see what he's going to do. Amen? If you follow the Cardinals, you know what I'm talking about. You wanted to see him at least get a shot and come up and do something because that's your man. That's your guy. You know, and then he's been gone for probably about 8 years, and now he's come back, and this is the first time he's been back to St. Louis for over 8 years, and when he came back, they gave him a standing ovation. I mean, they anticipated his coming. They had it marked on the schedule that he's coming into town on this day, and they had it marked on the schedule and everything, and the stadium was sold out. I'm told, you know, everybody was standing when this man came up to the plate and gave him a standing ovation, was loving him. Did all those things. Packed the house, all of that. For Albert Pujols, future Hall of Famer. This is what they did for him. Every time he came up to the plate, cheered for him. Gave him a standing ovation, a visiting player on the opposing team. Not only that, check this out. He also hit a home run against them. And they cheered for that. Gave him a curtain call. In case you don't know what a curtain call is when you you come out of the dugout and you wave your helmet cap to the fans because they're cheering you on a job well done. This is an opposing player playing against the team you came to root for. This is the type of magnitude that this man has on the St. Louis fan base. But not everybody was cheering for him, because not everybody is Cardinal fan. But here's what I thought about. Every time this man came up, gave him a standing ovation. They were waiting on him to come. They knew the order he was in the lineup. Saw him, waiting on him to come. Soon as he started walking towards the plate, they started standing. But then I thought about this. What has he done for us? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I thought about something. I said, these people packed the house, gave this man a standing ovation, and I thought about something for a moment. I said, did this man lay down his life that you may live? Did he die on the cross? Did they hang him? Did they crucify him? Did anybody see him raise the dead? Did anybody see him heal the sick? Did anybody see him do any of those things? Did he make the blind see? Did he make the dumb talk? Did he do any of those? Did he tell the sea to be still? Matter of fact, I think the Mississippi River was flooding, right? Did he tell the waters to go back? No. No. People are flooding out of their homes. Did he speak to the water and tell the water to decrease so these farmers can plant their crops so they can have some food on their table? Did he do that? No, he didn't do anything like that. All he did was come to the plate and hit a ball over the fence. But God has done more for us, who was there for you when you were lonely, who was there for you when nobody else would come, when he was there for you through all that you've been going through. God has provided a way for you. If he did not touch you this morning, you wouldn't even be here. It wasn't your alarm clock that was noisy that got you up. No, it was God that touched that spirit that's inside of you that said, get up. It was the Lord who did this. But yet, folks come to church. Folks don't even want to clap their hands. If they do, they don't want you to see them. You know, I mean, it's amazing how we treat God, but then we treat man totally different. We give man so much respect. I mean, this is why God said, this is why the Lord said this. No man knows the day nor the hour that I shall appear. But see, everybody knew when Pujols was coming to town, so they went and bought tickets. That's a way of saying that's the day they're going to get saved. Understand what I'm saying? See, if God said, I'm coming on July 1st, everybody will be in church. Or if he say June 30th, everybody will be here. Because they want to what? Be a part of that great getting up morning. And guess what? We ain't even selling tickets. It's free. Whosoever will, let them come. You can't even get folks to come to church anymore. You can't even get folks. You know, when they wake up on Sundays, they don't even think about coming to church. They think about, yo, this is me time. This is my me time. I need me some time. Thanks be to God, he never says that to us. When you need something, wouldn't it be something if God said, hey, I need me some me time. After all, I've been taking care of the world. I mean, I got a lot going on. I mean, I got to deal with Trump in the office. Come on now. I got to deal with these leaders over here starting wars. I got folks Iran shooting down stuff in the sky. I mean, I got a lot of stuff going on. I ain't got time for you right now. I need me some time. God never says that because he sleeps nor slumbers. He's not tired. But yet, when you need him, he's there. No disrespect to Pujols because he's a believer of God. But he'll tell you himself, don't put that on me. He'll tell you himself, he believes in God. He worships God. But he'll also tell you, don't put that on me. So I'm not knocking him. I'm talking about the people that's worshiping. God created us for him, for worship to him, him alone. You know, and I know that, you know, we live in this day and age, you know, that, you know, folks don't want to give God the glory and give God the praise. I understand that. No, I don't. I don't understand that. After all that he's done for you, you can't clap your hands. You can't stand up and say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know your situation better than I do. But we know that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? I tell you where we wouldn't be here right now. Because it's the Lord that's keeping us. We move and have our being because of God. Because of God. But here it is. This man came and got a standing ovation. They cheered him. They thanked him. And I even believe I saw one picture where he took the jersey off of his back and signed it and gave it away. Isn't that amazing? Let me. That was on my heart. I don't understand how we can give man so much glory and so much praise, but yet when it comes to God, we don't do anything for him. We don't want to give God our time. We don't want to give God our tithes. We don't want to give God anything. We want God to just give everything to us. We don't want to spend time. The only way you're going to get to know someone, you got to spend time. Everybody that's married, you had to spend time with that person that you're with. If you didn't, you ain't going to just get it. You ain't all that. You had to spend time. Amen? In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Here we are in a time where God has done so much for us. And Moses just brought the children out of, by the hand of God, brought them out of Egypt. Now they're in this wilderness. God used Moses to lead the Israelites out. He led them through the Red Sea, and then God closed it behind them and destroyed the enemies that was trying to follow them. Moses had them, led them to Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments, the same Ten Commandments that you are familiar with, it that you read. And here we are. Moses is dealing with this group, the people who God had told him to send out some spies to spy out the land. And let me say this with you. You know, a lot of times people live their life looking back on what it could have been instead of what it should be. So here it is, these 12 men, they were sent out to spy out the land and to go and look. This is God's way of giving them a preview or what their blessing is going to be. But sometimes, you know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I know some people, they just got to know everything. They got to know everything. Let me just say this to you. There's a reason why God don't give us everything. Because you ain't ready for it. And sometimes we hinder our blessings because we want to kind of fix it up in a different way. So here it is. God sent them out to spy out the land. Moses sent them. The 12 spies checked out the land for 40 days. When they came back, 10 of the leaders said the land was filled with giants. There was no way they could beat them. Two of them came back with a positive report. We know who they are, Joshua and Caleb. They told the people to trust God, and God would give them the victory. Now the question facing us this morning is the question that desperately needs to be answered. What kind of person will you be that will make a difference? Are you one of the 10 negative, or are you one of the two positives that have a different spirit? Caleb had a different spirit because he had a different spirit in him, which was of God. Have you ever noticed that some people complain about everything? Every setback, every difficulty that comes his or her way, while others seem to take it in stride and just go with life. People try to get ahead of others to make things easier for them. They take shortcuts and things like that for success. But what makes the difference is what's on the inside of the person is what makes the difference. Some people try to get ahead in life. Some people try to take shortcuts. But some people allow God to just do God's work, and they just allow God to use them, and they have a different spirit inside of them. Here's the thing. I have a couple of flashlights at home. There are some flashlights that will bright up a room. I'm going to tell you, it will light up a room. And then there are some flashlights I can't even get to even work to light up a room. You know the difference? It's really not the size of the flashlight. I'm learning that. But it's what's inside the flashlight that's making it glow. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is everybody is different. It's what's inside of you that makes you go, that makes you think differently. If you have a balloon, you fill one with water and you fill one with helium, which one is going to rise? In other words, it's what's inside of the balloon that's going to make it go up. It's what's inside of you. Some people try to get you to think like they think. Y'all know who they are? Oh, y'all know it ain't. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. That's the way some people think. But these two had a different spirit. They realized that what God has done for them. See, sometimes it's not a problem of looking back. But as long as you're not looking back because of a negative, but if you're looking back because of a positive. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, it's better to look back and say, man, God just brought us across the Red Sea. We have a boat. And he swallowed our enemies up. What I'm saying is that it's good to look back and see what God has done for you and reflect on those moments and say, the same God that did that, I know he would do this if we believe in him. But first, we got to believe in him. Regardless of what the majority said that there were giants over there. And in other words, we don't stand a chance. See, a lot of times we'll go with the majority. That's the way we feel. Everybody is saying it. So therefore, guess what we do? We'll be like, well, you know, everybody is saying it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You don't have to make your stand. It's what's inside of you that makes a difference. The thing that makes a difference between a man always straining towards heaven and the one which is content to call this world his home is really the spirit that's inside of him. If you say that there is no God, you are foolish. And if you say that there is no heaven, you're foolish. But it's the spirit that's in you that's saying that. But if you're saying there is a God and there is a heaven, then you're not foolish, because that is real. In order for a person to have God's spirit, you got to have the Holy Ghost. You have to, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But as long as you continue on trying to do your best without accepting Jesus Christ, you will never be all you can be. You will never achieve what you can be. Caleb followed the Lord completely. Despite what the people said about the land, Caleb still followed God. He followed him completely. He was not willing to allow these people to change his mind. How many of you allow people to change your mind because of how they feel? And if you got some people that are strong in personality and is strong in thought, you know, they could easily change you to think differently. But you got to make a stand. And you got to say, you know what, just do what you're going to do, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do. If this is what you want to do, then fine, so be it. But don't try to sell me something that I don't want. You know, I remember just a few days ago, you know, they have these trucks outside of the buildings where I work in downtown St. Louis. And I went down there because I had my mind made up that I wanted some barbecue chicken. All right? So I get down there because the barbecue chicken was good. So I get down there, and that's what I wanted. And so I get down there, and I say, hey, y'all got barbecue chicken today? No, but have you ever had our ribs, though? And I said, no, I had the barbecue chicken, and that's what I want. He said, but man, once you get our ribs, you'll never want anything else. I promise you that. These ribs are good. And I said, no, that's not what I want. I said, I want barbecue chicken. Well, we don't have any today. Well, tell me you don't have it. But don't try to sell me on something that I don't want. It made me mad. No, I don't want that. I want, just answer my question. Do you have barbecue chicken? And the answer is no. Have a nice day. That's what I came down here for. I didn't come down here for no ribs. I wanted chicken. This man is trying to sell me on something that I didn't want. What I'm trying to say is I held my ground. You ain't finna get my money. I'm not finna feast on something that I don't want. So in other words, I was basically saying, leave me alone. I'm out of here. And then they was like, so Ronnie, they got what you get anything? They don't have chicken. Everybody was like, they ain't got no chicken. I'm messing him up now. They're like, he ain't got chicken. No, he ain't got no chicken. So I'm heading back up. The thing that I'm trying to get over to you all is that if you're not strong in what you believe in and what you want, people will persuade you something different. But see, I was anchored. Don't take this the wrong way. On the chicken. Amen. My anchor was on the chicken. You're not going to talk me off of it to give me some ribs that I don't want. I don't care how good they are. That ain't what I want. You know, I don't care if they finger licking good. I don't care what type of phrase you put with it. I don't want it. Here's what I'm trying to say. When somebody come and try to sell you something that you don't want, you know, that's what the devil does. He sells you on something other than what God wants you to have. Basically, what's he doing? Basically, what he's doing is selling you on hell. I'm just being real with you. If you don't choose the things of God, you're choosing hell as your resting place. So Caleb was willing to follow God despite what others were saying. Whatever the Lord called him to do, he did it. When the spies were returning from Canaan, Caleb wasn't too proud to carry a bunch of grapes, so he did that. He got down and he did what needed to be done, just like the pastor got up on the roof and did what needed to be done. He didn't think manual labor was beneath him. He put his shoulder to the job. Caleb did whatever God needed him to do. If you are too important to do some lowly job for Jesus, if you are too good to serve in some position, then you are too good for God to use you. There are far too many preachers who believe certain jobs are beneath them. Y'all stick around long enough, you'll see me vacuuming floors. It ain't beneath me. Now, there are some members in the church that will come and try to and grab it from me. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm saying to you is that it ain't beneath me. Amen? I'm not there where I can't do the work that needs to be done. And if you're serving God out of obligation, if that's the way you feel, then don't do it. God doesn't need slaves. Amen? He don't need slaves. Constantly, Caleb. Y'all know there was a delay in them getting over there, right? Y'all read the story. It hurts your heart when there's a delay on your blessing. Amen? Something you are willing to go forward with, but yet others are not ready to do it. Here's the thing about that. You know, you're ready to go forward, to move forward, but you got people that are not willing to move forward. And not only that, y'all have to understand something. This ain't like the world we live in today. They wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. Did y'all know that? They wanted to kill them. But see, here's the thing. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. They couldn't touch him. The problem is that these men of God stayed to the course, stayed focused. 45 years later, after the first had gone out, Caleb was still following the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? That after all those years, you still haven't lost that fire. You still haven't lost that desire. You still haven't lost that drive. He never once joined the complainers. Isn't that a blessing? With all of that going on, not one time did he join the parade of the complainers. Never. Quit asking God what God wanted him to do. Never. At the age of 85, you don't find Caleb sitting in a rocking chair telling war stories about how things were going in Egypt. No, you saw Caleb waiting on the Lord to say, it's time to get up and it's time to go. In other words, what I'm saying is Caleb didn't retire in the Lord. He was still ready for God to say, let's go. He followed God faithfully. I mean that he followed God with faith. When Caleb and the other spies returned from the promised land and gave their reports, the other talked about the giants and the walled cities. They wanted to return to Egypt and the things that they were missing out on following God, but not Caleb. When he looked back, he remembered the chains and the bondage of Egypt and the miracles of God, and he had faith. He said, if God could pull this off and get us out of that difficult situation, if he worked in the past, I know that God will do it somehow now. And that's all he had was faith in God, that he said God can pull it off. Sometimes I don't know how God is going to do it, but I got faith to know that he's going to do it. As I preached before, and they can pull it up on the sermons about how I said, I don't know how God is going to bless us with this roof, with so small a number of people. But guess what? He did it. They was ready to shut us down. Fire department and all came in here. We had a puddle of water in the back. It was raining in here that you needed a raincoat. That's how much water that was coming in here. And the fire department said, we here to shut this down. No. Didn't happen. Because God blessed us with somebody who can talk really fast and was talking to the fire department, telling them, hold up now, hold up now. I mean, I'm going to tell you, thank God for women, because they'll keep going at you. I don't mean no disrespect. I don't mean no disrespect, but that's a gift. Use it for the glory of God in the right way. Because walking behind that fire department, that fire marshal and a fireman, I mean, the women just getting on. I mean, you say, okay, stay open and just leave. I mean, wore them down. You all don't believe me. I wish we could have videoed this. This is real stuff. You can't make this up. I preach about what I see and hear. So when you do something, I may preach about it. But I'm showing you, I'm telling you what happened. This is real life. They walked. It was literally raining in here. You go in the back, there's another puddle. It was raining all over this church. They was like, We got to shut this down. This ain't going to happen. And that woman was like, yeah, I don't want to say no names, you know. But it's like, huh, hold up, sir. Hold up, sir. Let me talk to you. And next thing you know, got him. We need to understand something here. That when you allow God to take control of a situation, ladies, gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you will be blessed. No doubts about it. But if you want to do it, let me just say this. You ain't going to be blessed. But in your own love, filthy, nasty way, you will probably feel good, especially if you beat them up really good and you had them on the ground. That'll probably do something to your ego and to your conscience. But there's no blessing in that. You understand what I'm saying? My point that I'm trying to make is, if you allow God to do it, both parties will be satisfied. When we allow God to work, even through this situation, both parties were satisfied. Because when they came back out, we had everything situated. Everything was under control. Amen? Because I know that God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And I know that God didn't bless us with this location. See, this is what God was doing in this situation. This is where you got to look and see God's hand at work in situation. See, God allows us to get to a certain point in life where you can't do nothing but depend on him. You understand what I'm saying? God allowed us to get to this point here at this church, to the point that we were shut down, and that was God saying, now watch me work. You understand what I'm saying? God said, I brought them in. Now they get ready to shut you down. You don't have any money, but watch me move. Right. Now, if anybody say that this church is not blessed, use a lie. God is blessing this church. And let me tell you something. I don't look at numbers. I look at the Spirit. The Spirit of God is here, because I look at how God had a church of 12 disciples that he ministered to, that he was raising up in the gospel. And I look and say, well, that's God's church. We're blessed. Caleb put his trust in God. That's all he had. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. See, when you are ridiculed, when you are lied upon, and I had people to lie about some stuff that I didn't do. I had a person to say that the pastor stopped in the middle of his sermon to tell a child to shut up. I never said that. But when you lied on, it makes you feel good, because now I know I'm walking with the Lord. Because when you start falsely accusing me, I say, oh, my resume is starting to look like God's. People are lying on you, just throwing false accusations out there. They even did that on my job, throwing false accusations out there where I couldn't say anything. I was like, I can't say anything. But I had God to come in and intervene for me. False accusation. Yeah, I wanted to say something with my fist. Amen? That's what I wanted to do. What the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Yes, I wanted to do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm human. But guess what? I had to keep my tongue still and let God do God's work. That's the hardest thing for us to do, is to keep our mouth shut. We can't do it. People made fun of Caleb. They wanted to stone him. Had no respect and honor for him. By the time the Israelites got to the banks of the Jordan, again, all the older men, all of the people who said, no, we shouldn't go over there. There's giants and all kind of stuff. Guess what? Joshua and Caleb crossed over their bodies. They held on to the promise. I'm holding on to the promise that God said he will return. I'm holding on to that. No matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm seeing, I'm holding on to that. I know all of these things that I see in the world today, I don't like it, I don't agree with it, but I understand this, that the Bible spoke about it, and I know that these things have to come to pass, because if we want to see our Lord and Savior, it's got to fulfill the prophecy of God. We don't like it, but it's got to fulfill the prophecy of God. Joshua and Caleb, well up in age, still got a fight in them. Still saying, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. They haven't, let me tell you something. When you run into a true child of God, I don't care what day of the week it is, what time it is, I guarantee you there's still fire burning inside that child of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's still fire burning. Yeah, and they're lit. And they ain't smoked nothing either. They ain't drank nothing either. Caleb had a different spirit in him that followed God fully. And God said, I will bring you into the land where he wanted them to go. Here's where I'm going with this. Regardless of what everybody say around you, there's probably people in your family say, you going to church today? You still believe in God? All this stuff going on in the world? Yeah, you still believe in God? Yeah, how come he ain't doing nothing about it? He prophesied about it. This stuff got to come to pass. People still saying that. Let me say this to you. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let them take it from you. Don't let them mess with you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what the TV is showing you. Let me tell you something. Hold on. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. God is still not through. He is working the work. He's allowing this to happen. If he chooses to, he can shut it down right now. Just like, let me see if y'all really know the Bible. Like in the Bible days, God said, move. I'm getting ready to open up this ground. Y'all remember that? If he wanted to, when they out there having all kind of fun. He could open up the ground, swallow everybody, if he choose to. But the different spirit, faith means not looking at what is visible, but believing that God is almighty. Faith means being obedient even when we can't see the results. Faith means action. Faith gives result. God wants us to choose between, wants us to choose to believe and choose to obey. He wants us to sacrifice something. God was with Joshua and the Israelites, but they had to show that they wanted it. God is not going to just give you everything. Yeah, God said, here's the land. I'm giving it to you. But you got to go over there and take it. In other words, it's going to be a fight. You're going to win, but I just need you to go over there and take it. I need somebody that's obedient. That's all God is looking for. He's looking to see if you're going to be obedient to his word. 10 spies brought back a negative report. Joshua and Caleb came back fueled with faith. 10 brought back grapes, only to brought back, two brought back gripes. And the others, Joshua and Caleb brought back grapes. You know, Caleb saw grapes and promises. The other spies saw giants and problems. Caleb saw milk and honey. The others saw calories and cholesterol. Fear will paralyze you, but faith will energize you. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. You're not going to always be with everybody. Sometimes you're going to be by yourself. But even if you're by yourself, stand strong and know that God is with you. Because I'm going to tell you this, your blessing is dependent upon your action. The action of those people who didn't want to go, they all were dead right there. And they crossed over them as they were marching on. You see what I'm saying? That's where they lied. And those who God said they can go over, Joshua and Caleb was the only one from that generation that went on over. And they are actually stepping over the carcass of those people who died, who didn't want to go. So they stayed right where their blessing was. But Joshua and Caleb, who had a different spirit, were able to go over to the promised land. Now, think about this for a moment as I close. The only way they got there, they had to have a different spirit. They couldn't have the same spirit as the other folks, because if they did, they'd be dead. This is the same way it's going to be in this life. In order for you to make it to heaven, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, you're not going to make it. God has given us an illustration here. Promised land, heaven, promised land, same scenario. God is trying to get us to cross over. Some is going to be left behind. Some is going to make it. But you got to have a different spirit. And it's a shame. Listen to this. Y'all ever notice that with numbers, dealing with God, not a whole lot of folks seem to come on over? Y'all ever notice that? Out of that entire generation, only two went. Joshua and Caleb. That's a lot of folks. But only two went. I don't think about this. See, God has a way of dwindling down the real people. Think about it. As I said a few Sundays ago, Gideon had 32,000 men, put out the word for 32,000 men to show up and help him. And only how many remained? 300? That's bad. And some of them men are married to women that went home. I'm sorry, but it seemed like the women should have showed up. I don't mean no disrespect, but if you got 32,000 men that answered the call and 300 men are left, to do the job. No disrespect, but that's not a good percentage. And they all went home to their spouses. This is me speaking this. They went home to their spouses. And I'm sure the Bible doesn't say this, but this is just me saying it. I can sure that wife probably said, well, what you doing home early? Why are you back so early? Is it over? I know that man didn't say, well, you know, the Lord had to put us through a test, and he was trying to figure out who was the real men, and so I'm back home. And that's just it. That's about all you can say to that. So Gideon left with about 300 men out there. The rest of us are back home. All y'all men came back? Was left. That was God testing. God has a way of testing real men. Real men. 300 men out of 32,000. Not a good percentage. What I'm saying to you today as I close, we got some decisions to make. The Bible clearly states it. If you're going to serve, basically, let me say it this way. If you're going to serve the devil, serve him. If you're going to serve God, serve him. Amen? Don't straddle the fence. God don't want you lukewarm. Now is the acceptable time. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now is the acceptable time. It's an urgency. You have to make a decision. And that decision is, as we open up the doors of the church, that decision is, who are you going to put your trust in? Doors of the church is now open. Whosoever will, let them come. You may come at this time. The doors of the church is now open. Whosoever will, let them come. Doors of the church is now open. Amen. Let us all stand. Gracious and eternal God, Father God, we thank you for allowing us to assemble into the house of prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Father God, for starting us on our way. Father God, right now, I pray for each and every one that is here. Father God, I pray for them right where they are. Touch them, Lord. Touch their hearts. Father God, I lift them up to you. I ask, Lord, that you shower them with love, shower them with blessings. Father God, I touch them right now. I touch their families. Father God, I touch their situation. I touch their jobs. Father God, whatever it is that they are going through, or whatever it is that's on their mind, or whatever it is that is bothering them, Father God, I just lift them up to you right now. And pray, Lord, that they will put it in your hands. And Father God, I pray right now that you will touch them right where they are. And Father God, I pray for Minister Day and the group that she has right now. I lift them up to you. Father God, I pray for those women over there. Give them strength, Lord. Give them strength to continue on this journey. We lift them up before you. Father God, I pray for Mother Gloria. Father God, I pray for strength. I pray for healing. Father God, I pray for deliverance. I lift up Mother Gloria to you right now, Lord. Father God, touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Bless her, Lord, and keep her. We thank you, Lord. And Father God, we pray for those that are a long way from home, that are going through much suffering for thy name's sake. We lift them up to you, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.